You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Over the last several years, the rate of anti-Semitic incidents targeting Jews and Jewish institutions has risen dramatically.
Anti-Semitic incidents in the United States reached an all-time high last year.
What we're seeing today is sort of a perfect storm of anti-Semitism.
Now we have reached a critical moment. According to ADL's annual audit of anti-Semitic incidents, cases of anti-Jewish vandalism, harassment, and assault increased by 34% in 2021. The highest year on record since ADL began tracking in 1979.
How can the spread of anti-Semitism be combated in America? The advocates we spoke to say political leaders have to call it out more often.
We cannot let comments, words, phrases, insinuations that are anti-Semitic in nature, horrific anti-Semitic tropes, we cannot let those go unchecked as a society.
We cannot let them go unchecked, and yet we have, and there are numerous reports of such violence against Jews since the date of that report. That was a NBC report on anti-Semitism that was put together in January. Thank you for joining us. This is August 24, 2022. We are live streaming at Larry Connors USA, rumble.com. Simply go to rumble.com, search engine Larry Connors USA. If you want to see the program later, you can also go to rumble.com, pull up Larry Connors USA, and you'll see the program if you can't join us live. If you miss any of the part of the program you want to hear or share with someone else, the podcast will be posted later today at LarryConnorsUSA.com or LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. Very easy to find me. Making it easier for those 87,000 IRS agents to find me as well. All right, so that MSNBC report from last January, more attacks since then, but often state-controlled media hides some information because it would look worse. What do I mean by that? Well, it's not all Proud Boys and whites responsible for attacks on Jews. There are numerous documented and videotapes of, to use their phrase, people of color attacking Jews. Now, this is a very sensitive subject at this point. You've got Asians attacking Jews in numerous cases and quarters, largely in New York and San Francisco, California areas, but elsewhere as well. And you have numerous black Americans attacking Jews. And I'm sure there's some documented cases involving Latino. And all of it would be attacking for what reason? For the religion. We've got a guest coming up in this hour. Guest Rabbi Menken. He's with the Coalition for Jewish Values. And we're going to talk about what's being done to bring a stop to this. And we're also going to get into that extremely sensitive area of how some of these crimes are glossed over or covered up because they might make some people of color look bad. If you're attacking and beating a child, a woman, a man, simply because of their religion, you should look bad. We're going to get into that. Biden preparing to erase $10,000 in college debt for each student. That could happen in the next less than 10 minutes now. We're waiting for the official announcement. He's already tweeted out he's going to do it. Riddle me this. What is the purpose of canceling at least $10,000 debt for each student who has student loans? you know the answer. Votes to get votes. And several other things pop up. How about you? Do you get any reimbursement plan if you already paid for you or someone else? Does Biden have authority to do this? And plus, on top of that, you could bet this was coming. Some are saying, in particular the NAACP, that's not enough. We want 50,000. Chuck Schumer in the Senate says, yeah, we need 50,000. In the meantime, there's a new memo reported by the New York Times. I'm sorry, not the New York Times, the New York Post. I don't think the Times will touch it yet. New York Post, Biden White House knew about the raid on Trump's home in advance. No surprise for me, nor you, correct? We'll get into that as well. And then we get a statement from a psychologist at Boston Children's Hospital that says, children from the time they're in the womb know they're transgender. Oh, these are wackos. We got a lot to cover. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
I personally know at least three people who got sick from mold. It's not uncommon for homes, businesses to have a leak somewhere, and it doesn't take long for mold to start growing. Well, of course, I recommend Wellington Environmental. You don't want a company that's just going to clean up the water. Wellington has 34 years of experience. In fact, hospitals often have Wellington inspect and treat mold. Do what they do. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Call Wellington for a mold inspection, air testing, professional remediation. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rated with the Better Business Bureau. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner. Better. Safer. Be well with Wellington. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
President Biden expected to announce plans to use taxpayer money to pay off $10,000 in federal student loan debt for borrowers making less than $125,000 a year and extending a pause on payments until January. A report released from the Penn Wharton budget model estimates that this plan will cost $300 billion, but could cost up to $980 billion to pay off that debt. All of this as new data shows that the cost of college has increased roughly 4.6 times the rate of inflation over the last 50 years as enrollment plummets over the past decade.
So we're looking at what, something like $900 billion to be paid off by whom? The taxpayer. And it starts with this bailout of $10,000 per student who has a student loan out there. They'll forgive $10,000 of it. That's not enough. That's not enough. We'll come back to that in a moment because many are saying, no, 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 no. That's too white. That's too privileged. What about the black students that have debt? Well, the black students are like the white students that aren't paying their debt. They owe it. Now, I grant you, it would be nice if somebody, if you're right now putting a kid through college, or maybe you're putting yourself through college, or you're trying to pay off the debt you accumulated while you got your degree to pursue your career, it'd be nice to have all that disappear. Even 10 grand of it. Or get a reimbursement check of 10,000 from the government for what you did pay in the past. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, it would be great, except it would be wrong. Biden is expected in the next, maybe right now, beginning to take the podium. I'm kind of watching for it to make the official announcement. But he'd already tweeted out what he was going to do, and that he said that it's going to be a student loan handout plan that essentially would use taxpayer money, Yeah, there you got it. Taxpayer money to pay off up to $10,000 of student debt per borrower making under $125,000 per year. Uh-oh, if you happen to make $125,001, sucks to be you. You're not going to get this benefit. And what it means right now, Americans, as you heard Maria Bartiromo report, we're going to be footing nearly a $300 billion bill if it goes through with the reported plan. And it also extends a repayment pause. Those who have been paying anyway are going to continue to extend that repayment pause to next year. The nation's federal deficit student debt right now, the student debt right now tops $1.6 trillion. $1.6 trillion. How did we get to that kind of number? And it's not just the kids going to college, which is part of it. But it's a constant increase for the colleges for classes, which right now, are they educating or still working on indoctrinating? And it's not limited to just general social study classes. I mean, that we've already seen CRT shoved into medical classes, transsexual surgery and acceptance shoved into college medical school classes. You're going to be an OBGYN, OGBYN, or are you going to be a doctor of any type? You need to understand that the child or person that you're treating may not really be a male or female. I don't care if they have a penis or had one and had it taken off. They may not be what they claim or that you're told they are. And that doctors are also being taught you have to go with what their pronoun is. If they say it's a he, but he says, I want to be called she, then the doctor must comply. You don't, they will sick them on you. They will sick everyone out there in the culture woke fashion, and it will start with your job at your medical facility. All right, back to the student debt. We're going to spend more time on that issue, by the way, in the next hour. So you want to make sure you hear that. But currently we have something like 43 million Americans have federal student debt, almost a third owing less than $10,000. That's nice. They've been paying it down or working it out somehow or another. More than half owing less than $20,000. This is all the latest federal data. So that would cut what they have owing in half, basically. And yet the U.S. federal debt is projected to nearly double the size of the economy by 2051, slowing economic growth, raising the risk of a fiscal crisis. That's according not to Larry Connors, because I don't have that kind of math skill. I've told you before, I had real math for the first time in the third grade. I remember that distinctly in the third grade. Longest 3 years of my life just dealing with math. Till they finally kicked me out and said, go into the next grade, get out of here. But the Congressional Budget Office comes up with those numbers. That was as of late July. So this sweeping plan by President Biden, there's a lot of dollars involved, but no sense. And by that I mean common sense. Let me share with you a letter I got this morning as I opened up my computer from a listener, Jen. I'm not going to use her last name because she wrote to me on my email if she posted it on the Facebook, which I encourage you to do so, Jan, because then everyone can see your comments. Those of you who write using the Larry Connors USA at gmail.com, always appreciate it, like it. But if you really want to get more traction on your remarks and get response, post them to the Larry Connors USA radio page. That would be Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. You don't have to have a Facebook to go on and post something. At least that's my understanding, unless they've changed it. But here's what Jan wrote. And how I want to ask you how much of this duplicates your life. She said, at least in some way, she said, my senior year in college, a limited number of student loans became available in Illinois for those preparing to be teachers. Great scrutiny, at least on my campus. She identifies it. And how do I know that? Not only did I apply for a loan, but I worked about 30 hours a week in the campus loan office. There was a teacher shortage then, as there is now. One of the purposes of the program, alleviate the teacher shortage, encourage students to get a degree in education. Loan recipients were obliged to teach in a public school in Illinois for at least 5 years. It was not enforced, she adds. For each year one taught, the loan was forgiven 10%. So if one taught for the full 5 years, as I did, half the loan was forgiven. I was totally self-supporting. This is real big for me. The bad news, terrible news, is that all these student loan programs have greatly escalated college costs way beyond annual inflation rates. That's exactly what Maria Bartiromo was pointing out a moment ago. The more money that becomes available, the more the colleges and universities raise their prices. That's exactly right. Hey, if you'll pay $10,000 to come here, I'll bet you'll pay $14,000, and then I'll go higher than that. She said, I wonder if an ambitious student today could go to college full-time and be self-supporting. It was hard, hard, hard. I'll emphasize with that, and I'll share my story in just a moment. She said, I worked at every imaginable job I could find, missed a lot of meals along the way, went to school full-time, admits, in parentheses, had my share of fun, too, was always tired due to sleep, but in the end, I did it. High college costs today, easy money, and now the president wants to forgive these college loans? Madness, Larry. As always, so enjoy your show. I had to add that. I know it had nothing to do with the subject, but what the hell? It's my program. I'm going to add it. Thanks, Jan. I wrote back to her. I said there are responsible, common sense citizens, and then there are those who take no responsibility and those who have no common sense. They want a constant stream of handouts as if they are privileged, which is so ironic when they attack your work to achieve as being privileged. I added, this is so upside down, wrong. Who's going to pay back for your sacrifices to be responsible and honor your commitments? And also those who did not go to college, they're going to pay for someone who did. We all agree that life is not always fair, but these bottom feeders are being enabled by an administration that has only one goal, votes. Not assessing, nor caring what it does to create generations of needy, whining Americans. My personal case, I worked my way through college. My parents, my dad was going to get me a scholarship, but he could afford to pay for me to go to Texas A&M. We were living in Texas at the time. But at the time, Texas A&M was on all boys. I didn't want to go to any school with no girls. Come on. And so then I end up, because we had three other children behind me, and I knew Dad worked hard in the oil fields, I got a job, started putting myself through. Went through junior college first, taking what classes I could. It took me 6 years to get a four-year degree in poli science. Not because I was slow or stupid. I know some of you might think that. But it took me that because I'm working my way. One time I decided, instead of staking the 9 hours each semester, I was going to try to go to 12, and one of those courses being economics. That was a mistake. Only course in college I ever failed. Got behind the workbook, could never catch up. So that will happen to you. But first of all, if Biden's going to do this, Karl Rove, who of course had served as a counselor, served with Bush. Let me get the exact years. Well, I don't have the years here. But anyway, senior advisor and deputy chief of staff for George W. Bush, raises the question, does Biden have this authority?
Where's the authority for the president to do this? If you look at the language, there has to be an extreme emergency. And I thought listening to the White House that the economy is going and blowing and everything's good. Jared Bernstein was on this network the last couple of weeks a couple of times, reminding us, telling us in glorious detail how great the economy is. So what authority does the president have to do this? He's got one authority. I want to help Democrats in the fall election and juice turnout among younger voters. And I hope to God they feel that they will give us our vote in return for being bought and paid for.
Boom. Karl Rove just put his finger on the purpose. You already knew the purpose. I raised that in the monologue. You knew it. I know it. Karl Rove emphasizing the purpose. Karl Rove making it very clear the purpose is right in front of you.
This is all about buying the support of college students and recent college graduates whom they worry aren't going to turn out to vote. I mean, this just stinks from top to bottom. And it's a sign of the desperation of the administration, but it's also a sign of their willingness to bend the boundaries in order to achieve a political goal. We're going to grant a special privilege of debt forgiveness to a small group of people and have every taxpayer pick up the tab, not only today, but in the years to come, because this is $300 billion added to the deficit, period, end of story. This is not paid for. This is not, right, you know, offsets. This is nothing. This is pure addition to the debt, inflationary demand. Now we've got a bunch of people out there saying, God, I feel better. I'm $10,000 of my obligation have been wiped out. I'm in a better place. Let's go spend more money. And once again, the government is making the inflation problem worse by putting more money in to the system, more demand, and having it paid for by debt.
$10,000 trying to buy votes, but it may blow up in their face because the NAACP president has already said that's not enough money. We're going to need $50,000 or more in forgiveness. That would free millions of Americans, drastically reduce the racial wealth gap, as he describes it. He said black borrowers are disproportionately burdened with student debt. Why so? Why are you disproportionate? If you went to the same college, you got charged the same amount, didn't you? You having a hard time paying it back? I understand. It's not, you're not disproportionately burdened. 2016, the Brookings Institute found black borrowers held on average nearly $53,000 in student loan 4 years after they graduated, double their white peers. It's the same thing. They just didn't bother paying it. Is that the issue? Probably so. Coming up, the New York Post breaking a story about Biden.
Be holding you tonight. I could quit doing wrong and start doing right. You don't care about what I think. Think I'll just stay here and dream.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So, the New York Post broke a story that a lot of folks said, I knew that. I was just waiting to see who's going to get into it. And basically, the Biden administration, this released this morning by the New York Post at 12:58 p.m. last night, actually, the Biden administration sicked the FBI on 15 boxes of classified information that the National Archives retrieved from the Mar-a-Lago earlier this year, escalating the investigation of former President Trump for allegedly mishandling secret government information. Now, how do they know that? Well, there's a newly published letter. This was a May 10 letter from the acting archivist, Deborah Wall, to Trump attorney Evan Corcoran. It just got published late Monday by Just the News and then picked up by the New York Post, confirming the White House counsel's office, quote, affirming a request from the Department of Justice supported by an FBI letterhead memorandum on April 15th to provide FBI access to 15 boxes for its review within 7 days. On that date, Trump attorney Corcoran wrote to the National Archives General Counsel, we want to hold this up till the president, former president, has time to personally make any decision and review them and make a claim of constitutionally based privilege. Well, they were not going to do that. And Wall added, the Justice Department has advised me there is no precedent for any assertion of executive privilege by a former president against an incumbent president to prevent the latter from obtaining. In other words, that Biden had a right to get them. But here's where it gets interesting. Wall wrote, and again, this is, what's her full name? Deborah Wall, acting archive activist in the National Archives. She wrote, the counsel to the president has informed me that in light of the particular circumstances presented here, President Biden defers to my determination in consultation with the Assistant Attorney General for the Office of Legal Counsel. The Assistant Attorney General in question, Christopher Schrader, confirmed to the Post in October last year, has worked in the DOJ for, well, look at this, a whoopee-doo in the DOJ in the Clinton and Obama administration. Boy, can they pick them and plant them and watch them grow. Now, the National Archives White House did not immediately respond to the New York Post inquiry. Will you clarify as whether Biden actually signed off on the initial April 11 note from the White House counsel's office? No response from the National Archives or White House. The official response from the White House is Biden didn't know anything about this. Had no. Do you really believe that? And, of course, Attorney General Merrick Garland made a rare public statement about any inquiry, which they normally don't, when he came out and said, I decided to go ahead and do it. I gave the order. I. He didn't do a damn thing without approving through the White House. You doubt that? Okay, you're entitled to your opinion. Larry, do you have your proof? No, I don't. But I watched this pattern, and we're going to talk about this pattern more in the next hour about this letter that was sent by the National Archives and saying President Biden defers to my determination. In other words, Biden had to be informed that we need to get them and that the way to do it is go through a raid. But, of course, if you recall the timing, the raid went down at Mar-a-Lago while Trump was in New York City. His son and staff were at Mar-a-Lago, and they called and said, hey, the FBI is coming in. They're demanding everything, and they want to shut off our security cameras. Well, the report was that the security cameras weren't turned off. I'm still interested in seeing that footage. And why would agents want that turned off if they're just doing what the search warrant called for and sticking to it? And coinkydinky, Congress had recessed for get some of the candidates out on the trail. And coinkydinky, Biden was off on vacation around Kiowa Island. It just all fits like a glove, doesn't it? And it fits. Coming up, anti-Semitism and what they're not telling you.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
All my friends know the low rider. The low is a little higher.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back, my guest. We've had him on before and glad to welcome him back. Rabbi Menken, Managing Director for the Coalition for Jewish Values, the largest rabbinic organization in the country. Rabbi, glad to have you on board again, sir.
Thanks for having me back. Really appreciate it.
Well, I want to get your take on this CNN special report that aired Sunday titled Rising Hate, Anti-Semitism in America. Did it do a good job or was it a whitewash?
Well, it did a good job in that it finally drew attention to the biggest wave of hatred that America is seeing right now while it's busy talking about every other problem. But at the same time, it was a total whitewash of leftist anti-Semitism on the part of CNN.
Well, when you say that, I'm going to ask you for some particulars. And one that comes to mind for me is that when they were talking about how much violence and all this anti-Semitic talk, which in turn could spur violence, I don't recall Congresswoman Omar Tlaib being in that or some of the others that were taking part in shootings and so forth. Am I wrong?
No, CNN wanted to talk about how everything can somehow be tied to Trump, implying that during the Trump administration, anti-Semitism grew, which is true in that it continued to grow. It had been growing during the Obama administration also. And it certainly was not tied to Trump. One thing that was very clear is that every one of the attackers hated Trump, whether from the right or from the left, including the Poe shooter on the right wing, the Tree of Life synagogue on the right wing. These guys all hated Trump for being surrounded by Jews. And meanwhile, the ones on the left hate Trump for liking Israel and Jews. So you're not going to win.
His son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is Jew, and so he's got a grandchild who's part Jewish. And on top of that, he is the one who finally made the decision that other presidents had opportunity to do so, and that is move our U.S. embassy to Jerusalem.
Oh, he was an unbelievable friend as president, and I just had the privilege of speaking to Jared.
You were breaking up. You were speaking to who, or can you tell me? Maybe that was breaking up for that
person. Oh, I was speaking to Jared Kushner in a private meeting.
Okay.
And I said to him that I had the honor of meeting him when he was a high-ranking member of the administration at the Capitol as part of a meeting, and I kind of hoped that in the future I might be able to meet him when he was in a similar capacity.
After 2024. I got where you're going with that.
Hinting you without quite saying it openly, and
right.
I already got some appreciative emails from allies in other communities. Anyways, back to topic. CNN would not talk about Omar, would not talk about Tlaib, would not talk, and by the way, they never brought in any traditional rabbi to talk about anti-Semitism, which we've been facing for 3,000 years. The only rabbi they brought in was Jill Jacobs, who everybody else regards as covering for anti-Semitism. She leads an organization that promotes lies, anti-Semitic lies, about Israel. And this is the rabbi that they want to bring in to talk about anti-Semitism.
Did they bring in Chuck Schumer? And some of his remarks and concerns and not standing behind the Jewish people in Israel?
I do not believe that he was quoted. And not a whole lot of people were. But they relied very heavily on Jonathan Greenblatt, who has taken the ADL in a very leftist partisan direction. You can see our press release about this on our website, coalitionforjewishvalues.org. It's really problematic. The ADL has repeatedly gone off course, off its mission under Jonathan Greenblatt, precisely because he was a member of the Obama administration. He has a lot of career experience in social justice causes and no career experience, or to my knowledge, education in anti-Semitism.
And did they bring in Louis Farrakhan because he's anti-Jew and often quoted by Tlaib and Omar and had been by Obama and I think even by Biden?
How do you like that? They didn't even mention Louis Farrakhan while claiming that Trump didn't do enough to condemn David Duke. David Duke himself is no better or worse than Louis Farrakhan, but they would rather talk about Trump condemning David Duke enough than mention Louis Farrakhan's existence.
Now, let me raise a question on news ethics for just a moment. There's more I want to get into this particular subject, but supposedly the new boss of CNN is making a lot of changes. You got Jeffrey Toobin out. He can see the writing on the wall. He's not going to be around. They dropped the reasonable sources, Brian Stelter, for what that was worth. Was a dog and pony show and nothing more, and no popcorn to go with it. And then they're trying to claim, we're going to clean up the network. We're going to be, we're going to get less of a partisan view. We're going to do more straight news reporting. This was a documentary, which I think should go at the top of your list. Let's do fair and balanced reporting in the documentary. And it looked to me like it was blaming both sides for GOP attacks on Jews.
I think it was so lacking in examples of left-wing anti-Semitism that left-wing partisans immediately turned around and pretended that it didn't exist and condemned CNN for talking, for mentioning that anti-Semitism comes from both the right and the left. And they went on to say, you know, it's GOP Nazism, then CNN is blaming the left for it, as if it was uniquely a white supremacist, because 90% of what the implication of the CNN show was that 90% of anti-Semitism is based on white supremacy, even though they acknowledge it came from right and left. Here you have these left-wing partisans saying, well, you didn't give any examples of left-wing anti-Semitism, therefore it doesn't exist, therefore you called attention to a problem that doesn't exist. Every Orthodox Jew in Brooklyn knows it's not about white supremacy. We are a lot less afraid of white people walking by randomly attacking us. That's not the problem.
You just put your finger on my next issue I want to deal with. You're listening to Rabbi Menken with the director for the Coalition for Jewish Values, and that is the, quote, dirty little secret that everybody knows, that much of the video and the attacks on Jews in the nation have come from either blacks and or Asians or a mixture thereof. Not saying that whites have not been involved, but I'm talking about physical attacks caught on street cams and other video and so forth, but they just don't want to deal with the fact that blacks would be attacking Jews. Now, why?
They don't want to call attention to the problem as it is, because there is this pervasive myth on the left that an oppressed person can't be a bigot. So therefore, it's not possible for a black person, since they're all victims of systemic racism, which is why Nigerian Americans do so fabulously in this country.
Yes.
I'm saying that sarcastic point to point out that systemic racism really fails to explain what's actually going on in America.
Yeah, it doesn't exist. Yeah.
These people, therefore, they cannot possibly be bigoted. But everybody appreciates at the same time, of course, that Jews can be bigots. And Jews were the biggest victims of persecution in the last century by far.
You got this past weekend, while they're airing this thing, a gang of black teens attacking Orthodox Jews in two separate incidents. CNN didn't mention either one of those. And I had talked to some Uber drivers and cab drivers in Las Vegas that were from Nigeria, and they're so glad to be in this country and be an American citizen. They didn't come here because it's systemically racist, because of freedom. That's why they came. And then the other thing is, you got someone like a spokesperson who has a big platform, Whoopi Goldberg, who said the Holocaust was not about race, because she's looking at it as a color only.
Well, Whoopi's name is Karen Johnson. We want her last name back.
Yeah.
it's culturally appropriative.
Yeah.
It is. Goldberg, she adopted a Jewish last name, and then she goes, it displays total insensitivity to the Jews. It's, again, for her, everything is about skin color and the appearance of skin color. Jews were annihilated in Europe precisely because they weren't white. That's what anti-Semitism means. They claimed, falsely, of course, that it was purely about the race. They're a Semitic race. They're not white. Therefore, they're bad people.
One drop of blood says you're either Jew or not. One drop of blood says you're black or not. One drop of blood says you're Indian or not. That's where we've come in this country, unfortunately. Rabbi, last 20 seconds.
Jews have white privilege. I just wanted to say, like, how appalling it is to say Jews have white privilege. It just inverts the whole story. It's time if CNN wants to do better, they need to do a second special. Bring in some
good luck
rabbis. Good luck.
Good luck. Rabbi Menken, thank you very much for your time. It's an amazing story.
Thank you so much for what you did today.
Bet.
Appreciate it.
You bet. Coming back, police violence.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
The other day, some listeners saw me in Cafe Napoli, and one said, "We see you here all the time." I said, "Yes, you do. I am the Cafe Napoli ambassador." Truth is, I've been a Napoli customer for decades, when there was only the Clayton location, then Town & Country, now St. Charles. Trust me, you'll enjoy great food, drinks, service. Cafe Napoli, Clayton, Town & Country, streets of St. Charles. And tell them the Cafe Napoli ambassador sent you.
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
If you just missed the interview we had with Rabbi Menken, Coalition for Jewish Values, reference that CNN special report on rising hate, anti-Semitism in America, make sure you go pull it up on our podcast when it's posted later today at Larry Connors, USA Facebook or LarryConnorsUSA.com. Or you can go to Rumble since we're live streaming. Search engine Larry Connors USA on rumble.com and then share it with others, because he's exactly right. And the part that we got into is that the one thing CNN totally wants to ignore is members of Congress who have spoken anti-Semitic words and they're just passed over or just kind of, they blah, blah, blah. They carry no import. What they will focus on, and, of course, they will not also focus on how many of these crimes against Jews are committed not by white people, but by, quote, people of color. We're going to get into a little bit of that in the next hour as well to some extent, but if we have time. I got so much going on here. Biden is speaking right now about reducing or forgiving $10,000 student debt if you make $125,000 or less. We'll pick up the rest of that story for you later. Network will have some at the top. But I want to share this with you. Now, imagine if you are a black Jew, because they come also in different races as well, not just white, and you're a police officer, and you're attacked by black people, or you're a black Jew sitting in your car, and you're shot by a black police officer. They would look at being a cop shooting you, not a hate crime against Jews. That's the way they would look at it. Look at what's happened just coming out involving the case against two police officers in Atlanta, Georgia. You might recall this incident happened in 2020, and it led to more Black Lives Matter riots. A 27-year-old black man had fallen asleep in his car in a Wendy's drive-thru, questioned by police, who'd been called to the scene because the guy just kept sitting there, wouldn't wake up, move the car. They didn't know, is he drunk? Is he suffering a heart attack? What's the problem? So, and then speaking with him, they said, we're going to have to take you into custody. You shouldn't be behind the wheel. He resisted arrest, stole an officer's taser, fired it at them, and then one of the police officers fired his pistol at the man and killed him. So a mob then arrived and burned down that Wendy's. Democrats, including failed Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams, said the shooting was murder. Justin Timberlake joined in, also condemning the police. They don't have any facts. They just go with what they see happen. Cops shooting a black man, that's good enough. That's reason to riot. One of the officers' stepmother got fired from her job because her stepson was one of the officers. That's it. The then Fulton County DA said the officers should be indicted without a grand jury investigation. We don't even need even a pretense of justice. Just indict them. You indict them, you're immediately suggesting they are guilty. Other media reported another example of alleged racist brutality tying it in. So this death of this 27-year-old black male, Brooks, Rayshard Brooks, joined the likes of Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, all part of the Black Lives Movement. Well, the special prosecutor appointed the case just declared yesterday, and I'm going to read what CNN reported. what CNN and NN reported, because they had to. Quoting him as saying, both acted as reasonable officers would under the facts and circumstances of the events of that night. Both acted in accordance with well-established law and were justified in the use of force regarding the situation. Was it objectively reasonable that the officer can use deadly force? We determined it was. This was a special prosecutor brought in. He added, Black lives do matter. I understand the encounters between police and the African-American community at times are very volatile, but I would ask them, and this is a big ask, I'm adding that point, I would ask them to look at the facts of the case. This isn't one of those cases. This is a case in which officers were willing to give Mr. Brooks every benefit of the doubt. Unfortunately, by his actions, that didn't happen. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reported also that the lawyers for the Brooks family will be, of course, filing civil lawsuits against the officers. They're still on the Atlanta force. They're not allowed to resume duties, or will be allowed only after repeating training. They're just going to automatically assume if the cop does a shooting, the cop is wrong, period. If one of the cops had been black, it still wouldn't make a difference. And I point out to you what I told you yesterday, that liberal mega donor George Soros has dumped all this money in to get these liberal DAs in place. That, hey, I'm not to blame for crime going up. It's all the mega hatred Trump people. And then a California DA found out in his county only, 70% of the criminal suspects released on $0 bail. $0 because of the George Soros zero bail for them because they can't afford it. 70% of them ended up committing another crime. Surprise, surprise, right? Huh. Coming up, the New York Post backs up a story that Biden knew about the raid.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.